listening to This Week in Virtualization, TechTarget's weekly news podcast on server and desktop virtualization.
Welcome to the June 10th edition of This Week in Virtualization. I'm Senior Site Editor Colin Steele.
And I'm Associate Editor Keith Kessinger.
And I am Senior Site Editor Bridget Botello.
VMware View 5 is expected to come out in the next few months leading up to VMworld, and Bridget's working on a story now asking users what they'd like to see in the new version. What are you hearing so far?
VMware View 4.6 is a big improvement. Every new version is, but it still lacks a lot of features, specifically the profile management piece. We're still not sure if that's going to be out in View 5, but people really want to see that feature.
And that was the stuff from the RTO acquisition that they promised and then never delivered.
Right. It was supposed to be out in version 4.5 last year, and they pulled it out of the second beta. So people were left with the option of buying a third-party tool or just waiting. And profile management is a pretty important piece of VDI, so it's something that people had to do either way. So let's see if it could be in the next version. I'm not sure yet. And PC over IP, it's an improvement over the RDP protocol, but you know, people say that it's not ready for prime time, especially when you're talking about over the WAN. And when you're comparing it to Citrix HDX or even Microsoft Remote FX, it's just, it needs improvement. And USB support, there's some quirky stuff when, you know, say you're using a DVD drive, the virtual desktop session might just reset. Just quirky stuff like that, that needs to be fixed. It's a little buggy.
So on the phone now to talk more about View 5 is Matt Leibowitz, who's a solution architect with Kraft & Kennedy, an IT solutions provider in Manhattan. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Sure, I'm glad to be here. So, Bridget, I swear you must have been looking over my shoulder at my list because you kind of hit on a lot of the points that are on my list. So profile management, top, really at the top of my list. The other one, you know, is you look at some of the other vendors and what they offer a little bit of better visibility into the user experience directly. So Citrix, for example, they had a tool in Zen Desktop called Desktop Director that help desk can actually use to see on a per-user connection what's the user's bandwidth, what's their latency, what version of Adobe Flash do they have installed, and is redirection working. So it's a really easy way for the help desk to see, field a call, and tell them why their experience is bad rather than having to escalate it to the administrators. So I definitely like to see that. You hit on the PC over IP improvement. That's a big one for us. The thing that we're seeing a lot is that as Sprint and Verizon and everyone starts advertising 4G, everyone talks about the speed of 4G, and the issue there is that 4G may be an improvement in bandwidth, but it's not a huge improvement in latency. And in the high latency, low bandwidth scenario, these error cards, that's where you start to see really, really poor user experience. And I think this is where Citrix has an edge. So I'd really like to see a lot of improvement there as well.
What's the big deal with profile management? Because I know some people have said that there are ways around that if it's not built into the product. Why is it so important that it's native to View 5?
The way we see VDI deployed both in the Vue world and the Zen Desktop world is to use these non-persistent or these floating pools where a user just logs into an identical pool of desktops that's not personalized for them. So the profile management piece is really important to bring down all their personalization and their profile into the environment to personalize the desktop to make it theirs. And then the tool also has to capture anything that's changed, bring it back up, store it centrally, so that the next time they log into a completely different desktop, their experience is identical.
Is there anything else that you or your customers have issues with or any reasons that someone might choose Zen Desktop over Vue that we haven't mentioned?
Well, there's two that are still on my list. The first, and in no specific order here, is just support for more clients. If you look at the amount of clients that Citrix supports, whether it's a Mac or Android, iPhone, I mean, Citrix has a client for HP WebOS on a product that's not even released yet. Vue is just, they're so far behind, so they really need to bring up the amount of clients that they support. And then the other one, the real big barrier to VDI, which I'm sure you guys have talked about a lot, is just the I/O requirements on the storage side. I'd really, really like to see VMware implement something to help with that. Citrix has some technologies to do that already, and I'd really like to see VMware kind of come to the plate with something with that.
Doesn't View 4.6 support tiered storage, or does that not make enough of a difference?
It does, and you know, things like if your storage vendor supports auto-tiering and things like that, it can help, but I'd like to see something that's sort of storage vendor agnostic. I hate to keep going back to the Citrix example, but if you look at the way Citrix does it with provisioning server, you can optimize the read I.O. in the RAM of the provisioning server and the write I.O. in the RAM of the target device, the actual virtual desktop, so that nothing is actually hitting a spinning disk.
And now there's the IntelliCache feature as well.
Right. And so Citrix is, you know, kind of well on their way to to doing that, and I think VMware, being really good at they are at memory management and the other things that they can do in their hypervisor, I'd love to see something that can help with that, because I think that's a really big barrier to VDI when you talk about the cost per user, if you have to factor in an entire storage array or another shelf of disk or something like that to account for the I/O needs. It makes it a barrier to entry.
Matt, you mentioned the need for support for a wider variety of clients. There's a lot of talk about BYOPC and consumerization of IT. How much are you seeing your customers actually give into that and be more willing to cede some of the control over endpoints to the users themselves?
Well, I would say this answer is not going to surprise you, but for us, bring your own PC hasn't really been heavily adopted, meaning you just give the user money and they buy whatever they want and bring in whatever they want. But what won't surprise you is everyone's coming to the table now with iPads and they want access from their iPads. Now people are showing up with these Motorola Zooms and these other Galaxy Tabs, other Android-powered tablets, and you need to be able to give them access to this environment on multiple platforms. And with Citrix, I can do that on day one. And with Vue, right now, I can only do that on an iPad. So I don't know that we're going to start to see folks bring MacBooks to work and stop using their corporate desktop, but I think tablets are definitely a game changer for us.
Is it easier to support this method of computing where you just have the entire desktop stream to a tablet from a management perspective, or would it be better to kind of do it more on an application level where you can kind of control more?
I think it varies on the use case and depending on who's doing what or who's connecting. But I think once organizations that already have Citrix or they've got Vue or something else for remote access, once they see you can connect to your desktop from your iPad, I think they're going to want the full desktop. They're not going to want, for example, published applications that just publish Outlook or Word or something. They're going to want the whole thing. And that's actually what I've been working on in the last week, trying to do that for a client. So it's definitely something we're hearing more and more about. So more support for other clients, I think, would be really good for Vue 5.
Matt Leibowitz from Kraft & Kennedy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's give a round of applause for Xen, which has finally been accepted into the Linux kernel. Now users can update Xen by patching the Linux kernel directly. This should speed up deployment and testing times and generally make life easier for administrators. Xen has also leveled the playing field with this move with KVM, which has been a part of the Linux kernel for a couple years now, but it may not be enough to make a difference in the end. As of late, Xen has faced stiff competition from KVM in the open source virtualization market. Despite Xen's superior market share and maturity, KVM has been eating away at that market share, and it has some major backers, including Red Hat and IBM. So in the end, this move eliminates one of KVM's chief advantages, but we'll see if it's enough to stem the tide.
Yeah, that last part that you said is really the key. A lot of people kind of looked at Red Hat like they were crazy a couple of years ago when they said we're going to put all of our money on the KVM horse and not go with Xen anymore. And KVM was used by a very, very, very small amount of people at that time. Xen was by far, in a way, you know, pretty much the only open source virtualization choice. If you asked Red Hat why they were doing this, they would say, well, it's part of the Linux kernel. There are a lot of inherent advantages that come with that, and we think that's the way it's going to go in the future. Now, that argument isn't around anymore. The other big point with this is that Xen is really, really popular as the hypervisor for a lot of cloud platforms out there, and Red Hat had just jumped into the cloud market full bore last month at the Red Hat Summit when they came out with their whole big cloud initiative. They kind of used the same argument there as they had in the virtualization market based on KVM. KVM is part of the Linux kernel. Especially if you're an open source shop, this is the way to go because it'll work better and be managed better with everything you already have. Especially in the cloud market where Xen is so widely used, there's really not that driving force to adopt a KVM cloud anymore.
There was actually talk, too, about some cloud providers switching to Xen server. And during Synergy, Simon Crosby was saying he doesn't know where that came from. And companies like Amazon are going to stick with the open source provider that's not connected to any company, which KVM is connected to Red Hat. Xen is just an open source hypervisor, and it's neutral, and that's what cloud providers are looking for.
And the market shares that they're going after is kind of pretty much like peanuts. When you got Hyper-V and you got VMware, talking about percentage points of the overall virtualization market.
We're talking about percentages of very small percentage in the first place, which I'm not very good at math, but it's a very small number.
That's always been the case for the Linux open source side of things. Windows has 90-some percent of the market, and then all these smaller Linux-based OSs just fight for a small piece of the pie.
I think that about wraps it up for this week. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch up with you again next episode.
You've been listening to This Week in Virtualization. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And for more information, visit searchservervirtualization.com, searchvmware.com, and searchvirtualdesktop.com.